We got feedback pouring in on this. Your confidence level that Scott Harris will do the right thing at the deadline. Tigers have right the ship. They've won 3 in a row. Best record in the American League. Comfortable lead in their own division. Confidence level that Harris does the right thing. Well, what is the right thing? I'd say it's a bat and an arm. John would say it's an arm and a bat. Semantics.
Yeah.
Add one of each. Bolster this team. Make a run at this. You're not going to build the Dodgers overnight. But you can chip away at it and give this team a real shot. I mean, if not now, when? No one expects them to gut the farm system. But a bat, a arm. Suarez is in town. He's the best bat available. He plays third base. He's a righty with power. He's clutch, 300 hitter in the postseason. He delivers runners in scoring position, OPS over 1,000 this year. He's owned the Dodgers for 2 years. That's the guy to go get. Don't let him leave town. Reliever, there are more options. I like Bednar, but there are lots of options. Get it done by Thursday.
And you can't just sit there and say, well, we're not going to be able to build the Dodgers at a trade deadline. You're never going to be able to build the Dodgers. You're never going to spend like the Dodgers. You're never going to spend like the Yankees or the Mets. There's a lot of teams you're never going to spend like. But if you have a team that is performing well, which the Tigers are, and you have a chance to compete against those teams, you should try and get as close to them as possible while you have the chance.
The objective is not to be the World Series favorites. The objective is to win the World Series.
Correct.
The right 2 weeks in October.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to put it. And for anybody doing that, well, they can't possibly add enough to win the World Series, so they should sell. You're a loser. You're a not competitive person. You need to compete. You have the best record in the American League. Well, Suarez doesn't guarantee you're going to win. So you're never going to add? Because you're right. You're never going to be able to build the Dodgers at the deadline.
No. Never going to build the Dodgers in the offseason.
Period. But especially not at the trade deadline.
Right. What did the Lions teach us? You got to play the games.
Yeah. Commanders came in here and did it. Melton has come up because he's not a top 100 prospect. He's not one of the big five in the system. Two very different starts. Yeah. Arizona wants pitching. I'd trade him for Suarez. And the thought is, well, I might need him if I lose Scooble. Well, if I'm losing Scooble in 2 years, I sure as hell better be going for it right now. Let's get the phone calls. Nolan, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I'm very confident that Scott Harris is going to add an arm, at least for the bullpen. Not so much a bat, back and forth with that. But obviously, I'd love Suarez. My only concern, not even looking towards the next years, but I don't understand how we would get rid of Melton if he's a piece in our rotation right now, especially Olsen being out. Our rotation is kind of already, I don't want to say limited, but it's been shown to be up and down, especially with Flaherty back and forth. Obviously, Scooble's been great and stuff, but you just don't know.
Right, but Mize is struggling, Nolan. I think that's a fair point.
Exactly. So my only point was, wouldn't you rather see them go into the farm system rather than someone that's actually impacting the team right now and get Suarez rather than giving up Melton, who could potentially
Nolan,
be a starter down the road?
To answer your question, yes. I'd rather give up other people. I'm not like actively pushing to trade Troy Melton away, but
how much the Reese Olson injury has affected Scott Harris and what he feels about Troy Melton.
What do you mean? We got Chris Paddock. He's here. He's throwing today.
Yeah, and then my other point I wanted to say, if, obviously, get Suarez, whatever, do you think there's a possibility that they are still looking at more starting pitching now that Reese Olson is? I know they got Paddock and stuff, but you're still quite limited. You have Montero, but one more injury to this rotation, you could be really, really back to pitching chaos by the end of the season.
Yeah, no, I'd feel better about pitching chaos if they address the bullpen, right? I mean, so that's why we talk about adding an arm.
Yeah, and pitching chaos as you get into the postseason. Not exclusive, not like to the level that they were last year.
No, they should be able to round out the regular season without it.
Right. And pitching chaos in the postseason is, obviously Scooble is your game one starter. Then who do you go with after that? Is it Flaherty? Flaherty, Mize, Melton?
And the key is you'll have quick hooks, and you're going to go to the bullpen. You're not going to let these guys go through the order.
Which is why I say an arm and a bat.
Okay. Ticket text, 248-539-9797. Scott Harris is done dealing. We'll see his big move start today, in my opinion.
Oh, so he's got him locked up, and today is just the announcement?
No, he's saying Chris Paddock is the big move.
Oh. I like my version of that text
I
liked
yours better, too. Well, there's weird moments where inside John's head is the
just
better place.
Just waiting for that 10:02 announcement.
Suarez is not coming here. Hinch and Harris like their flexibility at third base using lefty-righty matchups.
Well, you could still DH him. And you could still do whatever you want at third base with whatever side of the plate you want to hit from.
I watched MLB Network Monday. The Tigers were never mentioned. The word Detroit, the word Tigers, the words Detroit Tigers were never mentioned. Every other team was mentioned. What the heck? Says, I don't think we're doing anything. What a rotten shame, Joe in White Lake. My confidence level is a 6.5, Jason in Royal Oak says. He says Scott Harris will get Suarez and a decent reliever, and he'll find a way to keep Scooble beyond next season. Go Tigers. Take what some of he's selling.
Yeah. But he's only at 6.5?
Yeah, really.
Out of 7?
That sounds like 15.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I like Harris a lot, but my confidence he'll buy at the deadline is a 2 out of 10. It's not who he is. I don't think he'll ever be.
I don't know if it's not who he's ever going to be. I just don't know if he's going to be that guy right now.
John is absolutely right. We need an arm and a bat, not a bat and an arm. Scott and Carlton.
Thank you, Scott.
If we're thinking October, arm is more important than bat. Mm-hmm. Tech says, with where our starting pitching is, I don't care. We can't trade Melton. Tech says, we're acting like Suarez is a stud. He's being overvalued because he's the only obvious name available. I want the Tigers to add a solid MLB hitter that is a righty, and it could very easily be someone better than Suarez, who has nice power, but that's where it ends. I think it's underselling to say he has, quote, nice power. He has elite power. He slugs more than Riley Green, who is the best hitter on this baseball team. He isn't a nice little righty hitter. He's one of the best right-handed power bats in all of baseball. And I gave you the numbers with runners in scoring position, 277 with 1,000 OPS. He slugs equally, righty and lefty, whoever he's seeing on the mound. He's hitting 300 career in the postseason. Small sample, but it's not like he's been, you know, afraid of the moment. What are the playoffs all about, John? A series of moments.
His OPS is 2/1000ths under 900. And he's hit 36 home runs.
Are there better bats than him?
He's got 10 more home runs than Riley Green right now.
Yeah. Tech says the problem with not getting him, he'll most likely go to a competitor. Yep, we've hit that today. Rick says, are we not going to talk about how bad Mize was? Getting a starter is more important than anything, preferably a starter with multiple years of control.
I mean, yeah, but the more years of control, the higher the prospect you're going to have to give up.
Aha. See, we've reached this point that always comes up where fans want to give up very little and want to get lots.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. A trade that, boy, it sounds like it's a no-brainer for us. Well, if it's a no-brainer for us, it's a brainer for the other side.
I don't know if that's how it works. So if I'm catching this right, we're not giving up top 100 prospects. We're not giving up Melton, who's our number 6 prospect. So we're not giving up 1 through 6. And we're going to add a starter, a bullpen arm, a bat.
Right. Yes. All from okay. 7 or below.
Just out of thin air.
We're going to play with 7 down at Erie.
Okay. Wonderful.
Well, maybe that's the opportunity for Max Clark and Briseño and all those guys to go from Erie to Toledo.
All right. Noted. Hey, yesterday Heather had it in her news, this Christian Wilkins story.
Yeah, it's odd.
Very odd.
It's really weird.
Did you see, we have the audio. Did you see what one of his ex-teammates said yesterday?
I didn't see it, but I heard it.
We're going to play it coming up next because we got to get to the bottom. What is going on with Wilkins? It's 97.1. Guys, Brightside Dental is the place to go. If you haven't been to the dentist in your normal 6-month cleaning, or even if it's been a couple years, they're not going to judge you. That's the big thing. There's no judgment with Brightside Dental. They want to get you in, get you back in that routine, and not make you feel guilty. So if you're looking for a reason to book that dentist appointment, Brightside's your spot. $35 new patient special that covers exams and x-rays, and there's no hidden fees. Make an appointment, get back in that routine. 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. Tell them Jim Costa and the Morning Show sent you. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. Pouring it on, Riley Green going yard, Dan Dickerson on the call. the Lions have been called a lot of things. I'm not sure this one applies. We're going to get to that at 8:35 this morning.
Okay.
Remember the Lions roster, giving them a label. I don't think it quite fits. John, this Christian Wilkins story.
Yeah.
Odd. I don't feel like we have all the answers.
I don't think we have all the information to form answers or opinions. I'm not sure.
So Heather had it in the news yesterday. So just fill people in.
Okay, so he's not going to be playing for the Las Vegas Raiders in 2025, even though he signed this huge four-year, $110 million deal last season. And there's speculation as to why he won't be playing. One could be that they're not happy with his rehab and how he's healing from an injury, right?
Sure.
Okay, that makes sense. But the other is this alleged kiss on a teammate's head. He apparently kissed playfully a teammate on the head, but that teammate didn't take it so playfully and went and complained, allegedly, to HR.
So
he was not happy. So now there's speculation, could it be this kiss that has led to his dismissal?
Yeah.
To make things weirder, Raiders defensive tackle Adam Butler was asked about Christian Wilkins and the whole situation. What? Come again?
Well, that opens a can of worms, because that sure makes it sound like there's a whole something else going on.
Yeah.
Get therapy, get help.
Somebody will listen.
So I don't, maybe Christian Wilkins has something going on in his life that his teammates knew about, nobody else knows about. I don't know what that is or what it possibly could be, and I'm not going to speculate on any of that. But it does raise questions like, what is going on out in Vegas?
I have no idea what's going on out there in Vegas. This is very bizarre because, okay, if it's the injury thing, that makes sense to me. They disagree with the player's rehab. They think he's damaged goods. They want a way to avoid some of the money. Okay, that's life in the NFL. John, I'm sure you've seen plenty of situations
sure.
like that. The kissing a teammate thing, you said you'd never really seen. That's odd. I don't think that in and of itself is a reason to cut somebody. You can meet with guys and go, hey, personal space, respect boundaries.
Right.
Then you throw this in the mix and it's like, what is he saying? Like, get some help? Like, is this a third issue? Is this related? Now you got people speculating about his sexuality, and it's like, first of all, I don't think that's an issue. If you can play football, you can play football, but
no,
this is such a bizarre situation.
It is, and I mean, was there anything going on in Miami?
Right, that's where he was productive and played before.
Yeah, and when he was a free agent last year, we had outlined all the reasons why we thought it would be a good idea for the Lions to go after Christian Wilkins.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a football player. But then to have, okay, was it an injury issue or how to treat an injury? Was it this you know, quote unquote, playful kiss? Or is there something, a third issue going on?
Is he crossing more personal lines with teammates? I don't know. I mean, this opens that can of worms when he goes, I'm not going to comment on
that situation. I also didn't like that term, right? Like, I'm not going to comment on my teammate, he should say, or like,
right,
ex-teammate, but he made it so much worse.
Former teammate.
So much worse. Whatever you're going through, you can get help, get therapy. I mean, I would ask, does he make sense for the Lions? I don't even know how to answer that question because I don't even know what's going on.
Right. And so the other thing is like, okay, who's, obviously we heard from Adam Butler.
Yeah.
But who leaked the information about the kiss?
I'm assuming the team to try to explain why they released him, right?
But I don't know if that is, or was it possibly by his agent?
Maybe.
Because of the grievance.
To say, hey, he can play football still.
Yeah.
His teammates had some weird situation happened where they were uncomfortable, but he can ball, can play.
Somebody else, another player, there was some sort of rumors talked about his quote freaky history online as well.
What does freaky history mean?
I don't know. Of controversial interactions.
Texas has pointed out there's clips on the internet of him doing inappropriate things in like piles.
Oh, like in the pile on the field? Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what are you talking about there?
That's just defined pile.
Yeah, that's a fair, what are you saying?
It's a fair point. I don't know. I mean, look, the Lions have some injuries on their defensive line. He's a highly productive player.
Yeah.
He's going to want to play, to John's point, to fight this injury grievance.
Yeah.
But look, if he's gay, that doesn't mean you don't want him on your football team. Now, if he's violating other people's personal space, that's a separate issue.
Well, if that's the case, and you're talking about his sexuality, I think his former teammate's response is also strange then. If you need to get some help and you need therapy, and he's talking about his sexuality, that's an odd response to that. There's something else going on.
I don't think that's the case.
I don't either. I don't either at all.
We're left with so many questions.
Like you said, more questions than answers.
And the problem is, like, okay, if Christian Wilkins has something going on where a teammate says, you need to talk to somebody or you need to get some help, then, you know, you would like to respect the privacy of whatever that issue is, because if that's the reason that he is no longer a Raider, there's a big issue there.
There is.
And I'm a little bit surprised that we're now a few days into this and we don't have more information, because people will not stop until they find out more what they believe are facts.
Oh, we're going to get more of this. I mean, he's going to want to play. He's going to want to clear his name at some point. We're going to get some more information.
You would think.
Anyway, we'll get to the Lions, move forward with our football team. 8:35, one of the star players on the team has given them a label. Does it fit? But first, Heather with the news.
Well, after closing all of its Michigan locations in recent years, Wahlburgers is returning to Metro Detroit. In fact, they're going to open a new restaurant in the Detroit airport.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it will open on August 4th, right around the corner, in Terminal A of the McNamara Terminal. The CEO of Wahlburger says Detroit holds a special place in the heart of the Wahlberg family, which makes opening a Wahlburgers at Detroit Metro Airport especially meaningful. So basically, you can go and get the like signature burgers and sandwiches, breakfast items as well, will be open from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily, operate right near the food court.
It's perfect because calories don't count at the airport.
Right.
That's a proven fact.
Yeah.
So you can dig in and
And Heather, I will exclude you from this question, but have you ever had a Wahlburger?
I haven't, but I would.
Yeah. I mean, they're good.
It seems like a good location. I mean, you don't have a ton of options at an airport.
Right.
I mean, who doesn't like a burger, a sandwich, breakfast items?
Yeah.
Why not? Seems like it should be successful. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. We'll see about that. For the first time in 3 years, camping rates at some of Michigan's most popular sites are going up, set to increase. The increase will be between $4 to $10 a night at modern and semi-modern state park campsites, depending on the location and amenities. They also say fees for rustic state parks and forest campgrounds will not increase. So basically, the DNR says that this price hike reflects an increased demand for campers and will help with long-term sustainability. They say the increased revenue will enhance visitor experience, upgrade amenities, and help parks stay clean.
Well, and those heated mattresses don't pay for themselves.
No, they sure don't.
Oh, geez. That wasn't a state park.
No.
All right, not at all.
And I do think I've been to a number of state parks. I've been to a number of these modern, semi-modern, and rustic camp sites. But the park, the grounds themselves, I think Michigan does a really nice job of maintaining them, keeping them up, and making them accessible.
Yep. Most golfers will never in their entire lives get a hole-in-one.
Right.
I mean, the odds of getting one are very slim. But for New York Islander forward Matthew Barzell, he now has two under his belt, and he did it in a span of 6 days.
Did he really?
Yeah, which is what's so crazy, right? He's never had a hole in one in his life.
Same course.
So he was playing at Deepdale Golf Club in New York. He got his first hole in one of his life on the sixth hole.
What is this, a putt putt course?
No,
how do you do it twice in a week?
The second one in the same hole.
I don't know.
Careful.
Don't think it was, John. But it doesn't talk about where the second one was. Oh, wait, his second hole. Oh, no. The second was in the 17th hole. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Hands off.
Don't do it.
What's the next story?
Kraft Mac and Cheese is just unveiling a new pizza flavor for a limited time. They say its bold and savory notes of garlic and classic Italian spices capture the essence of a classic slice in every bite. So Kraft says this new pizza flavor is now available for purchase at retailers across the U.S., will remain available throughout the back-to-school season. But here in Detroit, you can actually order it for delivery starting this weekend. So delivery will be available in New York, Chicago, and Detroit only starting on Friday. They say it will be delivered in as little as 15 minutes, and it will come in a custom Kraft Mac and Cheese pizza delivery box. And
cool.
It will cost you just $1 for delivery.
Curiosity.
Yeah. Why not?
You still laughing about it earlier.
Because I played the other drop that you're not going to play
in
my head.
I'm not going to play it.
Yeah. And so I heard it in my head, and now, I really didn't hear much of that last news story.
Oh, no.
All right. Not that drop. The one I'm not going to play. All right. Coming up next, the label placed on this Lions team by one of their stars. Does it fit 97.1? What am I missing?
A statement you said about at least 3 or 4 times last segment. This Kiss by Faith Hill.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. It wasn't any of that. Certainly not. Got his ass cut.
Oh, hold on. Oh, Unstoppable.
Okay, thank you for that. Not where I thought we were going to go this morning. Yeah,
maybe he walked in singing Faith Hill.
We're going to need more information before we can give an opinion on that situation. But that is Christian Wilkins, his situation. Okay, looking ahead of the Lions, John, you found this quote, but I think it's a great conversation to have. Amon-Ra St. Brown has labeled the Lions underdogs.
Yeah, and his quote is, "We're not back to square one, but we're back to square, you're still underdogs. We feel like we play the best when we're underdogs. We love being underdogs, and it gives us that hunger, that fight that our team is built off of. We're right where we need to be."
Do you feel like the Lions are underdogs?
No, I don't. I don't think they're underdogs. Are they the Super Bowl favorite? No. They weren't the Super Bowl favorite last year. At points throughout the season, if they were the, you know, number one team in other power rankings, not just the power surge here, but they were number one team at other times. Maybe they were seen as the Super Bowl favorite on a weekly basis, but not before the season, and certainly not, you know, going into the playoffs.
So let us know, because look, there's been a lot of discussion, tough schedule, lost both coordinators, lost two starters on an offensive line that was among the best in football. Yeah. Still no help for Aiden. You've heard all of the concerns. Does that make them an underdog? Because, John, they're still the favorite in this division. They're still one of the 5, give or take, best teams in the NFL. How can you be an underdog if you're one of the 5 or 6 best teams in the league, one of the 2 or 3 best in the NFC? You're not an underdog.
And independently, there are other publications that are saying that your roster is one that is a top 5 roster. Some even say as high as top 3.
Yeah, you guys said that last week.
Yeah.
Top 3 roster in the NFL. You can't be an underdog. Now, no disrespect to St. Brown. Use whatever you can as fuel. We know he's motivated by that. He's cut from the Jordan cloth of taking it personally. He knows all the receivers drafted ahead of him. Fine. Use it as fuel. We're asking you as a fan, though, does this label fit? 248-539-9797. Are the Lions underdogs?
And some of you are going to have to decide what your criteria is for making it an underdog. If you are going into a game, say you're going to Kansas City and you're a 3.5-point dog, like all that means is you're not, you know, expected to win that game, but it doesn't mean that you can't. So my definition, if you're double digits or you're 9.5, I'll say 9.5, it's going to take double digits to win. To me, you're an underdog. There is no game that the Lions are going into at the start of the season where they're going to be a double-digit dog.
Correct. Look, they're going to open the season right now as a 1.5-point underdog to Green Bay. But that's, I mean, that's within the margin of error. I mean, that's a coin flip in the NFL. That's a road game where, yeah, it's basically a pick 'em. They're not an underdog. They have a roster full of young all pros on both sides of the ball. They are the favorites in their own division. To me, an underdog is a team that you go could be worst to first, or a team that's starting over with a new head coach that you think, hey, there's, people are sleeping on these guys. They're the underdog. Or, hey, new quarterback. There's the Lions aren't an underdog. They've got a lot of the same core pieces on this team. They lose Ben Johnson, right? That's a big headline. He's in the division. He's with Chicago. They're sorting stuff out. Who's still here on this offense? Quarterback, both running backs,
all
both
your
leading
skill
receivers,
players,
the majority of the O-line. And again, I have concerns. Will they be great? But they're still in the mix.
Yeah, but they address some of my concerns. You're still going to have two very young players on the interior of that offensive line. But I love the fact that Dan Campbell came out, was it yesterday morning, and said, Graham looks really good at center. The offensive line looks good with him there. Unless something drastic happens, that's most likely the lineup that they will head into the season with. I was more uneasy when the thought of Tate Ratledge changing positions, going to the center position, because it's a key component of this offense. Now that Graham is going to be there and they're going to split up those two young guys, I'm much more comfortable. It doesn't put them in a top five of an offensive line, but I'm more comfortable going into it, going, if that's the weak spot, I feel better about that.
I think it was the right way to handle it. You want to stabilize this group right now and to sandwich the rookies, the young guys, between vets.
Yeah,
made a lot of sense to me. And I thought Graham Glasgow was super honest when he said it can take a full year for a player to grasp playing center at the NFL level.
Yeah.
And you know who took a full year to do that? Was Frank Ragnow.
Yeah.
So for Ratledge, it's beautiful to slide him into playing in the NFL at guard, rep him at center as much as you'd like, get him up to speed, and he may be the long-term center. But this year, the best configuration that gives them a chance to win the Super Bowl is not burdening a player with playing center right away.
And I think we will see him at center at some point this year. Not because he just leaps and bounds and improves so much, but Graham's old. And I mean, I love Graham as much as anybody else.
Yeah,
we want him to
about
play
retirement the other day.
But he's old. Like, when's the last time that he played an entire season? It's just, you know, for 17 games, he missed time last year, missed time the year before. Now, if it's only one game, that's not a huge miss, but it does. Does Owusika go in at guard and then they bump over Ratledge? So now you've got some questions. Hopefully that's not until, you know, week 12 or 13, but you don't get to pick that.
Ticket texts and phone calls. Are the Lions underdogs? Text says, if you feel they're going 10-7 and losing 40% of their games with the toughest schedule in the NFL, I can see how that would feel like underdogs, even if they sneak in the playoffs. Says, have you guys talked about Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams beefing at practice? Did I miss it, Justin in Madison Heights?
But say that again.
Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams beefing at practice.
There's been some reports. I know that he, you know, kicked a rookie receiver
Burden.
Yeah. Out of practice, but then he returned
and
he was taking teams okay. It's a new offense. There's going to be obstacles for that team. So
they're an underdog, right? I mean,
they're
new coach,
100%
building a whole new scheme, new offensive line, all of it.
We should hear from Brad Holmes.
Oh, I was like, wait, we're not. Did I miss a guest spot? Corin in Columbus. Well, are you guys underdogs?
Absolutely not. And I need somebody to explain to me why Philly's the favorite. Because if I'm not mistaken, we lost, 14 defensive players last year, and we still were the number one seed in the NFC. And when we lost our playoff game, we scored 31 points, which was more than any other team has scored in that week in the entire playoffs, other than Washington, who beat us. Not only that, didn't Philly lose their offensive coordinator too? I guess Detroit's the only team in the NFL that lost an offensive coordinator. Now they're only supposed to win 9 games. Now, I know you guys are saying that, but...
No, but the case for Philly would be they kept their O-line intact. Detroit didn't. They won the Super Bowl. Detroit didn't. And it's convenient to pick one week where the Lions had a big offensive outburst because they played Washington and scored 55 points.
Yeah.
They won by double digits in 3 of their 4 playoff games. They discoed on everybody last year.
Well, they had 3 out of 3 phases of football. We were playing with a JV defense, respectfully. I mean, where everybody was hurt with an offense. I mean, of course, like We have to play complimentary football to be able to win. And we weren't able to do that. Now, when we get our players back, and don't get me wrong, Aaron Glenn was a loss as well. But when you see, I mean, obviously we hear what's going on with Aiden Hutchinson, and we actually get a real defense out there. We were actually one of the best defenses in the NFL last year when we were healthy. So I don't see any way. I mean, I just don't understand why everything that Detroit lost, which is things that other teams lost as well, including our attrition. Like, to win 15 games in the NFL is hard enough. To do that the way that we did it with only our offense, like the same thing that Joe Burrow had to do is what Jared Goff had to do, right? But we were able to do it, and they weren't. But apparently, like, the Bengals are supposed to be a great team and the Lions are supposed to take a step back. Like, I don't understand why we're supposed to take a step back when there are a lot of other things that teams lost as well that we didn't. And that we're getting back. Like, we're getting back great players. Aleem McNeil is a great player. Yep. Aiden Hutchinson is a great player.
Yep.
Sure, we're going to have to replace our offensive line, but Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery are still great players. All of the things that we're getting back are still great players, and I think we're still going to be a dominant team in the NFL. And I don't see why we shouldn't be the favorites in the NFC with the number one seed.
I'd still give it to Philly, but I get why you're calling in. You got to stick up for the talent that's still on this football team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't have McNeil in week one, but they will when the postseason rolls around, and he'll have more than a month under his belt. Hutch is going to be revved up at that point. Like, they will have some pieces they did not
have
last year.
Hutch is revved up now.
I know. It's hear about the reports from the scrimmage yesterday.
Yeah.
It was all over the field. The Eagles deserve to be the favorites in the NFC right now.
Yes, until proven different.
But just because you're not the favorites doesn't suddenly tip the scales to now you're an underdog?
Yeah.
I can't go that far.
I can't either. And I agree that, yeah, they were able to accomplish a lot last year with a defense that was beat to hell.
Tech says, I love when fake Brad calls in. He sounds more like Brad than even Brad does. Well, there's some truth to that.
I know. As soon as he started talking, I'm like, it's amazing how much he sounds like Brad.
And he does the we thing too. Like, yeah. We. Oh, it's beautiful. Love it. All right. What do you guys think? Lions underdogs or not? Bunch of ticket techs. Want your thoughts. 97.1. Broke that game open.
Mm-hmm.
Three in a row for a sweep today against the Diamondbacks. Deadline's tomorrow. John, we're talking underdogs.
Yeah.
We're going to hear from an underdog at 9 o'clock. Out at Lions practice yesterday. Caught up with one of the team underdogs. You're going to love this conversation at 9:02.
Yeah. Lots of energy.
Even if you didn't
know
who this guy was.
You got to listen to.
You got to hear him talk about it. All right. So we're talking underdogs because Amon-Ra St. Brown says... We're underdogs. Says we're not back to square one, but we're underdogs. And that's where we want to be. We want to be underdogs. We play well as underdogs.
And we're fine if for the team. If that's their mindset, great.
Great,
whatever,
sure.
Whatever it takes to motivate them to greatness.
Great. Your peewee squad, you got to go up against the Monstars. Whatever you got to tell yourself. Like, but they're not underdogs. They have all pros on both sides of the ball. They're division favorites. They're among the five or six best teams in football. And maybe I'm underselling them. I mean, they're one of the best rosters in the NFL. They're not underdogs. You guys let us know, though. Does the label fit? Texter says they're not underdogs. They're dogs. Yeah, they have the hardest schedule. That's out of their control. But it doesn't take away from the team or their talent. Some kinks they need to work out, but calling them underdogs is foolish. The sun god is trying some reverse psychology to throw everybody off.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it sounded like to me is they're manufacturing their mindset as they approach the season. And they could say, I'm sure there's a part of them that absolutely burns that they underachieved in the playoffs.
Well, that's a better word for it. They're not underdogs. They underachieved.
Right.
Underachievers.
Because they were 9.5-point favorites in that game. The underdog beat them.
Yeah, I mean, some would say double digits.
Yeah,
well. Didn't work out. The only reason people say the Lions are underdogs is because the people of Detroit crave being the underdog for some reason. It's more fun to be the underdog.
Sure. If you feel like you can succeed, but no one else believes in you.
It's powerful.
And that's part of the thing is I don't think that there's not a lot of people that don't believe that this is a good team. Whether or not they are the favorites to win the Super Bowl, You ask any, you ask 31 other teams, are the Lions a good team? And they'll tell you yes.
How about this? Is anybody sleeping on the Lions when they come into play this week, the upcoming week?
Yeah. I mean,
no.
It's no longer, oh, hey, we're playing the Lions. This is a week to get right. You ask Kansas City. You ask Baltimore. Now, they may be confident and feel like, okay, yeah, we're gonna win this game, but do they feel threatened by the Lions? Absolutely.
Yeah, they're not under the radar. Like, to me, an underdog is someone you could sleep on.
Yeah.
No one's sleeping on the Detroit Lions. You may say they've got some flaws, right? This line needs to solidify. Aiden's a freak, but are they going to get complimentary pressure? Right. There are questions. Coordinators, tough schedule. Are they going to take a couple extra L's than we'd like early in the season? Right. Those are fair conversations, but they're not under the radar. When they show up to play the Eagles, the Commanders, the Ravens,
yeah,
the Chiefs.
They're not under the radar. They're not sneaking up on anyone.
Nobody is sleeping on the Lions. Ticket Texter says, if you listen to the afternoon show, they're underdogs. Underdog in the sense that everyone expects you to take a step back in record, but playoffs, they're going to make the playoffs. They're not an underdog.
Yeah, and as Dan has said, you just got to get into the tournament.
Well, we learned that last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that kind of poisons the well a little bit for the regular season, is whether they're hot, whether they're cold, whether they're 5-5 or 10-0, it doesn't matter. Get in the playoffs, and that's when we're really going to care. It's kind of like when I was growing up, the Red Wings were wake me up in the playoffs, right? And like the Tigers of the Verlander Cabrera years, where they were winning the division and they're buying, and it's World Series or bust, it was wake me up in the postseason. We're there with the Lions.
Yeah, and for this year, it's going to be more of, do we think they're going 17-0? No. No one does. Are they going, 9-8? There's some people that think that that's their destiny this year, but most people believe they're going to be a playoff team. It's going to be more about, okay, what are the lessons that you learned? Some in victory, some in defeat, against Cincinnati, against Baltimore, against Kansas City, so that when you get to the playoffs, that you have a better chance of winning those playoff games because you have been sharpened. You have been, you're a better team because of the competition that you played.
I welcome the schedule for that reason. I don't, 15 wins isn't going to do anything for us.
No, as it showed.
Lions have their eyes fixed on the Super Bowl. If they aren't Super Bowl favorites, they're underdogs. Maybe not for individual games, but for the season, they're underdogs.
So there's 31 teams that are underdogs then. And I just don't think you can go into a season thinking that 31 teams are underdogs.
Your word was perfect. It's manufactured.
Yeah.
They're manufactured underdogs. It's the chip that you place on your own shoulder and then say, no one believes in us.
Yeah.
This is like Georgia calling themselves underdogs a couple years ago. Like Kirby Smart must have been doing some kind of magic in that locker room. Nobody believes in us.
Yeah.
We got 35 NFL players, but nobody believes in us.
It's a little bit easier to sell 18 to 21, 22-year-olds on that concept than it is a 10-year NFL vet.
Look at this made-up newspaper I created.
Right.
They picked us to go 6-6.
Yeah. You highlight every other word, and those words make up you suck.
Bulldogs bad. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. We're going to talk Tiger baseball in the 9 o'clock hour. John Jansen's loaded question on deadline eve. Tigers may have a new rallying cry, but we've been talking underdogs. Grant Stewart, new Lion, special teamer, fighting for a spot, fighting for respect, a former Mr. Irrelevant. What more underdog could there be?
And it feels like when you talk about culture, you talk about fits. His personality, his mindset, whether it's with Dave Phipp as a special teams coach, whether it's with Sean Dion Hamilton as a linebackers coach, Kelvin Shepard, Dan Campbell, his mindset fits with this team.
It's coming up next. It's 97.1.